name is Christina, and thank you for checking into the Home Forward OCs. This is a podcast where a friend and I talk about our original characters, the good, the bad, and the self-inserts. And guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Benny. I use he-him pronouns.
Yes. And Benny, who are we here to talk about today?
We are talking about Shu the Blue Umachu.
Okay, Umachu, got it.
Yes. Essentially, he is a doodle that has risen well above his station.
I don't know, I would say deservedly risen above his station.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I would like to preface this by mentioning that I first learned about Shu from you posting in the Claire Makes Art Discord, which is the Discord for the Patreon of Claire Mulcairn, who is the DM for one of my other podcasts, Binary Break.
She's great.
But you mentioned that you had an entire spreadsheet of OCs, and I think I did the equivalent of table slamming in the Discord chat, like, Benny, I have to hear about these OCs!
I knew this day would eventually come when I heard about your podcast, but I think at the time that it came out, I was like, I do not have the, like, mental weather or
brain space,
the mental energy to actually get into talking about my old, like, original characters from, like, middle school and high school and all of that cringe energy that they bring. But as soon as the cat got out of the bag, I was like, yep, that's fine. Let's talk about them.
The thing about Wayward is that I would say that in Wayward, we embrace 95% of the cringe.
Yes.
The 5% is the stuff that it's like, this is actually bad in retrospect.
Yes, and that can come up in today's conversation where I'm like, I'm going to change the name of this.
Okay. So we probably should go ahead and get started then with talking about Shu. So Where would you like to start? Would you like to kind of describe Shu as a character, as a concept, or would you rather start with, like, the world and the setting that Shu lives in?
I think we go with the concept.
Yeah, Shu.
So, I don't remember the genesis of Shu. It was most likely that I was in some class in middle school, and I was bored, and I doodled. Amen. I did all kinds of doodle and artwork and stuff because I'd get done with whatever work we had to do, and so I'd just draw things, and so Shu came out of that. And so he's essentially a little ball with a tail that arcs up over, and then there's another little ball at the end of his tail.
Yes. Shu is, if I may say so, a little guy. Capital L, yes. Capital G.
100%. And so he is blue, and then he's got two really big eyes. He's mostly just a bunch of circles. So he's got really big eyes that are actually all black except for his white pupils. Mm-hmm. And then the very end of his tail is a little yellow ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am very sure that he was influenced by the in-training forms of Digimon.
Yes. Having seen pictures of Shu that you've shared here, and hopefully you'll share on social media when the episode drops, I can definitely see those comparison points, and I love them.
Yes. So the concept of Umachu are that they're all, like, just little round balls, and they bounce up and down, and some of them have, you know, different appendages or different colors or things like that. But Shu is the original, and he has been a muse throughout my life. And for a couple of different projects, and just being something fun and creative for me to use.
Yeah, I love to hear that, genuinely.
Yeah, we were sitting there talking about, you know, I had this giant list of all these OC characters, and it was like, oh, who should I talk about first? And so my brain went to, like, one of my first characters that I created and developed a whole story for, but then I was going through it and I was like, oh no, like, Shu also has a lot attached to him, and then I kept going and there's even more, and oh, I forgot about this, and then he did this. Out of that list, he is the most recent character that I've done something with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he actually showed up on my very short-lived podcast. For the April Fool's Day episode, Shu came on and helped me with an episode.
Aww, I love that.
Which is very amusing because at least Shu and several other Umachu don't speak language.
Okay.
They just make a lot of noises.
Okay. Okay.
So it was me talking to Shu, and nobody else could understand what he was saying.
I love that. It's always fun to have a bit.
Yeah. His language, is based off of the way me and my dearest friend would sometimes talk to each other. We would just reach the point where words were useless and we just wanted to say something to each other, so we would just make noise at each other. And it's just high-pitched and squeaky and very silly, and we would just talk back and forth to each other without ever saying an actual word.
And probably the adults around you were so confused. And Benny, I am reaching my hand out to you through the internet in solidarity.
Yeah, our friends thought we were weird, but that wasn't the only thing weird about us, so it's fine.
Yeah, and as weird is a false dichotomy. No one is not weird.
True. But that was definitely something I leaned into in, you know, middle school and high school, was like, weirdness is great. So the like characters and stories around Shu are all very like silly, weird little nonsense mm-hmm. pieces.
Yeah.
I guess the main creation with Shu, besides just stories that I tell in my head that were never written down, that were just for my own entertainment. Mm-hmm. But the main one was actually a school writing assignment.
Okay.
So in my 10th grade English class, we did a whole bunch of like creative writing and doing all kinds of different stories. And I think for like the big one, that, you know, mm-hmm. it's maybe 20 pages, but still, that was like the longest thing we wrote in that class. And I decided, oh, I want it to be about Shu and all of my other characters.
Yeah.
And so it's essentially, it's really just a series of character introductions and then a joke.
I mean, Taylor Swift did that with her Bad Blood music video, so I think you're in good company.
But the short story is basically Shu wandering around the place where he lives, which is called the Land of Lin,
mm-hmm.
Spelled L-E-N. I don't know why. I was not very good at naming things when I was younger.
You're good.
But he lived in the Land of Lin with his creator, whose name is Spike, and he loses something of Spike's. So Spike is this mad genius. So like he used science to create Shu, mm-hmm. and he has all these weird things in his lab. And he ends up, Shu ends up losing something, and he has to go and find it before Spike finds out and, you know, does something terrible.
Okay.
And so then it's just Shu going around the Land of Lin to a whole bunch of other characters, and like the first character is Cha-Cha, the vampire hamster.
I saw that and I was like, I would like to understand Cha-Cha the vampire hamster.
Again, probably started off as me just doodling like a black hamster, and then it became a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Bunicula?
I am.
Probably influenced by that concept. So Cha-Cha, mm-hmm. the vampire hamster.
I would like to mention, Benny, specifically that I pulled up the screenshots of your spreadsheet that you sent me. And mm-hmm. I would like to let the listeners know that you have styled this character's name as Cha-Cha, the vampire hamster.
Yes.
With an exclamation point after their proper name.
Yes. A Shu also gets that sometimes. He's Shu, exclamation point, the blue Umachu, exclamation point.
I love that.
Yes. I don't know where that came from, but it's happened twice.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he, you know, feasts upon plums, sucking the juice out of them, and then the plums come back as these weird green fruit, and if you eat them, you become his mindless minion, you know.
Huh, okay.
So anyways, Cha-Cha ends up borrowing, in quotation marks, a whole bunch of stuff from Shu mm-hmm. for his new crypt, because Cha-Cha is, like, new to the area or whatever, and so Shu okay. goes there and talks to him and finds out that, oh, Cha-Cha sold a bunch of stuff to Jack O' Spades, so now Shu has to go there and talk to him, and then they talk with Jack, and then Jack traded something to one of the storm fairies, and so he has to go to their tower And then they just lost it and don't know where it is. And so he keeps wandering around. And we can talk about all these characters, but I want to at least get through the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's like dejectedly heading home and he runs into Savay. And Savay's a traitor and he found a bunch of stuff and he finds the object, but it's not actually the object. It's just a fake object. And so Shu is just out of hope, completely sad, and he returns back to the lab to finally confess to Spike that, you know, he lost it.
Uh-huh.
And Spike gets really mad, and he's, like, slamming his fists on the counter, and is like, I can't believe you, you know, lost this, it's so important, and he keeps slamming his hands, and eventually the cupboard door falls off and lands on his foot, and then, like, Spike is jumping around, like, oh, he's in pain, and uh-huh. Shu looks up. And in the cabinet is the object that has been missing this whole time. And Spike's the one who misplaced it. And that's the story. It's just going from character to character to character to discover that this whole trip was for nothing.
I bet you could probably put the hero's journey over that story. Probably map it.
Maybe. I'm not sure. but yeah, there. So it's... just a whole bunch of other characters that I created that, like, Shu, you know, sits and talks with and all this stuff. And, of course, Shu is magic. And since he doesn't mm-hmm. actually talk in words, what he does is signs pop up at the end of his tail.
And okay.
So he's very much fit for comic format. So, like, you'll have a little comic strip. And I did a whole bunch of different comic strips.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have Shu there, and then at the end of his tail is a little text block of what he's saying.
Okay.
And then everybody else has, like, the regular word bubbles, but he has text blocks because his is literally holding up a sign for the, like, the short, you know, two-word phrase or whatever that he's saying.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did notice on the spreadsheet that you sent me screenshots of that some of the characters have different genres listed. And
yes.
You mentioned in the questionnaire that Shu is kind of more of a creative character who enjoys causing trouble for authority figures.
Yes.
I would love to hear more about this.
I mean, he's just a little guy.
Yeah.
But it's very much the, like, cute and terrible little monster, like, trickster thing. I don't have examples, really. It's,
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, like, so one of the stories that has never truly been written down, but it's, like, fairly clear in my head, is the creation of some of the other Umachu. So Spike has some sort of super high-tech copy machine, like it's a copier, but he you know, juices it up because he's a mad scientist.
Yes.
And then, of course, Shu decides he wants to play with it, and Shu plays with the copy machine, which, of course, mm-hmm. inevitably leads to the creation of more Umachu.
Okay, okay. And forgive me if I miss this, but is Spike an Umachu?
No. Okay. Spike is a complex character. So.
Okay.
So I have this other original concept, which bleeds into a lot of my creative projects, which is the Chaos Storm.
Yes.
The Chaos Storm is a group of creatures. It is a philosophy. It is an energy source. It is magic. It is all of these different things. And so Spike and Shu are a part of the Chaos Storm.
Okay.
And what'll happen is I'll have one character who has different forms and appears in different ways. And so Spike is this version, the mad scientist who created Shu. But then there are different stories where Spike is one of the Storm Fairies.
Okay, okay.
And the Storm Fairies are, including Spike, there are five of them.
Okay.
And they're just itty-bitty, once again, like, mischievous, very goofy, like, characters that I use for comics.
Okay, okay.
And so he's not human when he's in his mad genius form, because he's only, like, 4 feet, four feet. Well, that doesn't make somebody not human to be 4 feet,
more,
but he's, like
more
very,
humanoid?
Yeah, he's much, because so he's a little taller, but he's more like a very tall fey creature versus the Storm Fairies who, you know, are very much like little fairy creatures.
Okay, okay.
So he's, oh, I have a picture. Oh, yeah. I need to send it to you.
Yeah, shoot.
So I'm sending, and of course, yeah, we can put this up online. So there's one, which is just a doodle sheet of Shu. Just a whole bunch of pictures of him, just in emoting and all of these different expressions and positions and things like that. And then the other one is a picture of Spike and Shu that I painted at some point. So Spike is like a boy, like, you know, a little kid height, but he has like 2 foot long spiky hair. He wears like a blue mask, and then he's got a blue shirt and then just like pants.
Nice.
But it's just, it's a distinct character look that I can then, you know, draw all the time.
Yeah, I get that. Before you mentioned that Spike is generally, at least in Mad Genius form, humanoid, I was going to ask, how does, I thought Spike was an Umachu without arms or legs, and I was going to ask how he worked the machines that would have created Shu and maybe some of the other Umachu.
That is a very good question, and whenever that comes up with Shu, it's usually just read as like, don't think about it, just don't worry about it. How did he, you know, get this wrench to work for Spike when he was asked to do this? Don't worry about it, we're not going to show it, it's not going to be on screen, it'll just happen.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I've probably drawn a whole bunch of other creatures that could be counted as Umachu, because it literally just has to be like a cute little head, basically, to count as one of my Umachu. But the two main ones besides Shu are Bennett's Blessed, which is the name of the creature.
Yes.
And then the other one is Amadon the Destroyer.
Okay.
Bennett's Blessed. I have this weird tendency that has come up with a lot of these characters that I noticed is that I'll have the main character, and then I'll have something will happen, and it'll be three creatures.
Okay.
So in so this case,
a split, that kind of yes. thing.
And it happens a lot. Like, I have a lot of trinities in my characters.
Hey, it, you know what? That is following the time-honored traditions of literature and storytelling in general. So.
Yes. So we have the souped up photocopier accident, and it creates Bennett's Blessed and Amadon the Destroyer.
Okay.
And then eventually it creates a whole bunch of other Umachu. And then whether Umachu are naturally forming creatures or whether they are the creations of Spike, I think is just different depending on what story I want to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But Bennett's Blessed is just another little blue ball, a slightly paler blue color, that has a, like, wispy blue fire around it, and then a halo on top. And that one is just more serene and calm and, like, just a very chill little creature. And then Amadon the Destroyer is black, has a scorpion tail instead, and little bat wings. And always looks angry. And he, for whatever reason, has decided that the destruction of Shu is his ultimate mission. So they're rivals.
So, okay, so they are rivals, but this is not a, like, if you destroy me, you destroy yourself kind of a thing.
No. I think Shu would try to use that logic on Amadon, and he'd be like, nah, I don't care. Worth it. And then, of course, Amadon has a form where instead of being all black, he's all pink.
Okay.
Because that's the way my brain works, or it did work when I was younger.
Yeah.
And everybody else just doesn't believe Shu that Amadon is so terrible. Despite the fact that his moniker is The Destroyer, everybody else likes Amadon, and he's just really cute, sweet little guy that secretly wants to destroy Shu.
That just reminds me of, like, the, it's not the friend that nobody likes. It's like how in Sesame Street, like, Oscar the Grouch loves trash, and he hates everything that is good and happy and fun, but everyone else is like, oh, that's just Oscar, he's our friend with depression.
Yeah, this is Amadon, our friend with rage issues. And of course, for some reason, Amadon can actually speak and just talk like a normal person, while for some reason Shu does not. And then I don't remember Bennett's Blessed. That was the less developed of the trio.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of existed in the background, being peaceful and calm.
Does the trio go to the, or not go to, do they have any adventures? Do they have any shenanigans they get up to?
Other than the origin story, I don't think I've ever really written anything down.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like, you know, a long car trip somewhere when I was a kid, and I would just tell myself a story, and I'd have those characters, and, you know, it'd be some mm-hmm. funny little joke to me.
Okay.
Occasionally they'd get written down as like a little comic, or I'd just do a little doodle or something.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't anything specific.
Okay.
But one of the other things that I did, so, you know, I had this concept of Chu and the Amachu and all this stuff, and I'd go to it when I was bored or I needed something creative.
Yeah.
Well, in high school, I went to this summer camp that was basically songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
It was through the local theater group that I would do stuff with. Well, they did a summer camp, and you'd have musicians, and then you'd have people, you know, who'd write and do lyrics and stuff, and either, you know, we would maybe get paired together to write a song, or, you know, somebody would just go and they'd write lyrics, and then they'd pair up with somebody else and help to write the music to it, or, you know, helping to write the lyrics to the music that was set, or things like that. And so I went to it. And there was one of them where it was just go off and write something. I think it the prompt.
Yeah.
I think the prompt was love.
Okay.
And at that time, I was anxiety-ridden, closeted gay kid in Appalachia, and I didn't really want to talk about love.
Yeah.
So instead, I wrote a song about how Umachu are so cute, and you love them so much that you would let them take over the world. And so I wrote the lyrics, and then my friend Caroline wrote music to go with it, and then we recorded the song as part of the summer camp.
Nice. And would you put it in, you sent it to me in the Discord chat. Would you like me to include this in the episode, or would you rather post it somewhere online and then I can just like retweet it? Reskeet. Twitter is dead.
Twitter is dead. Long live Blueski. Let's go ahead and put it at the end of the episode.
Okay. Sounds good.
Full disclosure, I'm not the best at carrying a tune, but everybody felt it was very important that I be the main singer on the song.
Yeah. As the number one Shu stan.
Yes.
You deserved to be the singer.
So it's very much like high school kids like coming together at a summer camp and singing a song, but then like my best friend sings the bridge because he's always been a better singer than me, and I was very excited to have him, you know, participate in this stuff. So he ends up singing part of the bridge singing the bridge, and I'm helping. And so it's just another. I realize that because Shu has been something that's been with me for a long time, a lot of my close friends from like middle school and high school recognized Shu and like knew this was a character that I had created. And so what also happened, I think it was a graduation present, I don't remember, but my best friend Meredith ends up sewing a plushie of Shu for me.
Aww.
I've turned on my camera so I can show off Shu
in three dimensions.
Yes, he's very, very marketable. I would fully believe that middle school Bennett created this character with the idea of making it a cute little marketable mascot.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you this much. I'd rather buy a Shu plushie than a baby shark plushie. I was going to ask that and also mention that before we started recording today, you sent me a picture of Shu getting ready to record his podcast debut with a headset and everything. And I think you should post that when the episode goes live because it's so stinking adorable.
Oh, absolutely.
Real quick, since I don't think we talked about this yet, you have mentioned a couple of times that obviously Shu and Spike are part of Chaos Storm. But you also mentioned that there's different colors of storms and there's different stormlings. And I would like to hear more about what these are.
So that is probably enough to be its own separate episode that we could go fully into the Chaos Storm and all of the like intricacies and the way it has developed over the years. But yes, that's a whole thing. And like talking about the storm fairies would go into the different types of storm creatures that exist. I've attempted to write like a novel with this concept multiple times, or I've got a rough draft in my head and it just has never fully come out, but it's this like creative concept that I really want to do something with.
Okay.
But it's just never quite happened yet.
God, I think we all should have $1 for every idea, for every story concept that we want to make a thing and we haven't yet made a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It would certainly help a lot of struggling creatives with financial problems, myself included.
Yeah. Yes. And I think one of the reasons I was also excited to come on and talk about this stuff today was to help like re-motivate me for creativity. Cause I like went back and looked at like all of these artwork that I've done, this writing stuff that I've done. And just, I haven't been that creative for a long time. Cause you know, it was, middle school, high school, like, I don't know. That's just a time period when I think people are less afraid to be creative and make a bunch of done cringy things. And so it was nice to go back and be like, oh yeah, I love this and I want to do something with it.
Yeah, that honestly, I had a similar experience over Christmas. I was visiting my parents and part of my Christmas presents to my parents was that I went through all of the old papers and loose leaf sketches and stories and things that I did when I was in school and when I was, you know, still living at home. And so I went through and I would say I scanned probably about half of the papers and then recycled a third of the total just because it was like, this is a piece of paper that had one drawing on it in the center of the paper. And now that I have saved it, I am not going to worry about the rest of it. But there's a lot to be said for the kinds of creative things and creativity from when we were in high school, or not even high school as much as I'll say before entering the workforce full time.
Yes.
Because when you're at that part of your life, you have a lot more energy, a lot more time. Like you don't have to spend, 8 to 9 hours a day at work wishing that you could be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get home from work and then you have 5 or 6 hours of doing things like chores and wishing you could be creative and you don't have time to be creative.
Yeah.
But before you enter the workforce, you have, time to sit and think about the stories that you want to tell and make things up. And so I guess what I'm really saying here is that capitalism is the enemy of creation, and that's a wayward mission statement.
Yes, fully supported.
Did not expect to be that radicalized in my podcast, but you know what? It's true, so I'm going to say it.
I'm not surprised. Do you have any questions for Shu?
How are you doing today, Shu? How are you feeling? Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. And I hope that Benny has been a good, co-guest is the term for it. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And if he's not, let me know and I'll talk to him about it. You're very welcome.
Yes, he was very excited to participate. So I had to give him at least a couple of seconds to say something.
No, you're good. You're good. I have a fun question.
Okay.
What is Shu's favorite prank that he's ever pulled so far? I'll put the so far limiter in there.
Yes. Favorite prank. It was clearly conducted upon Spike. So it's probably something that he was able to get away with. Probably stealing lab equipment of some sort. Probably to use for his own go-kart or something like that.
Oh my god, Benny. The idea of shooing a go-kart just makes me very happy.
That's good. That is function in life. He does have a little bit of a Calvin and Hobbes energy to him, except he's really just a little blue ball that doesn't actually talk.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I was thinking, which kind of brings him back to his origins.
Yeah.
Is that, of course, at some point I decided to make a Digimon line of Shu.
Yes.
So, like, it's still, yes, it's just Shu. It's not like I modified him in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's obviously Shumon, who's the in-training form, because, you know, that's kind of probably where the inspiration came from.
Yeah.
But then Shumon transforms into Spikemon. So, like, the creation becomes the creator. Mm-hmm. They are so linked together that when I went to create a Digimon line, they just became the Digimon line.
Yeah.
So then the champion form is Little Spikemon. And the difference between Spikemon and Little Spikemon is like 2 inches. just a very dumb joke.
Nice.
Oh, and then the ultimate form is Shining Shumon, which is just a shiny version of Shu. So it just comes back to the in-training form. And I don't remember what the mega was.
Nice.
It's just that, like, oh yeah, I knew what he was when I created him. So what if he really was just a Digimon? And the answer is, not very different from what he was.
I mean, look, why improve on perfection, honestly?
True.
Although now I hope you know that I have art that I am trying to get done in time for my cousin's daughter's birthday party, but I might just do some doodling up of Shumon and Spikemon.
Yeah. It's not difficult to do a little doodle of Shu.
That is true.
But that would make me extremely, extremely happy to have artwork that somebody else has done.
I have good news for you. I have a sheet of paper that I keep next to me when I do episodes so I can, you know, take notes and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, in fact, draw a Shu and one of my characters, my little guy, who's just a little guy.
Yeah, like, my college notebooks are just full of doodles, with a lot of it being Shu or other, like, Umachu-shaped characters. I've got one that's very cat-like. I do not remember the name of it. But it's like a little gray one with cat ears and like a little bit of like a mohawk kind of mane mm-hmm. thing. And then its tail ends in a spike because for some reason, I love long furry tails that end in a spike or a blade of some sort.
Animorphs.
Yes. Like, yeah, probably that's where it came from.
Yeah, we all know and love an animorph.
Yes, and then that's also another character I can come on later and talk about. It's an alien, so it's not actually related to the, like, direct Animorphs story. It's mm-hmm. just an alien I made that is supposed to go in the Animorphs universe, which could be a whole other, again. The cat is out of the bag, and so I'm gonna have to come back on your podcast yes. multiple times.
I would love to hear about them, honestly. Especially mm-hmm. since everyone is like, before we get back to talking about Shu, I will just say that the Animorphs universe is one that is so impossibly large that there have to be aliens somewhere in the universe who are just having a fine time. And like, yeah, maybe they hear about the Yurks, but the Yurks don't care about them, so they just have regular lives.
yeah, that's kind of what these characters were made for.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about that on another day.
Yeah. Also, I put the picture of that I doodled in the chat.
Yes, yes, your little guy definitely has Umachu energy. I tend not to draw Umachu with feet, mm-hmm. but I think there are definitely Umachu out there that would have feet, so this guy would definitely be welcome to the party.
Excellent. Love to hear it.
Listeners, I would definitely love to see your Umachu-sonas. Is that the phrase?
Hey, you know what? They're your creation, so you get to decide the term. Say yes. It with authority, because you are the authority.
So, what else? I feel very silly, because I don't have a lot of structure.
So, I asked what Shu's favorite prank was, but did Shu and its friends have any, like, major adventures or anything fun that they went on together? Obviously, you know, the Chaos Storm will be a separate episode.
Right. Shu has a couple of other friends who are collectively the Familiars. Because, again, they're all little guys. They're just full of little guy energy. And so he goes on adventures with them, which includes Hat, who's literally just a magic top hat.
Nice.
That is the character. It's a magic top hat. He has, you know, hammer space within the top hat and can pull out, you know, a tank or something if it's required.
Nice.
There is Twine, who is a little tiny dragon, drake creature.
Oh, I love them.
Yes. Shu and then Churly.
Uh-huh.
Twine has other forms, but okay. Just focusing on the dragon form today. And then, again, okay. It's like I'll create a character and I'll create a name, and then that name will get used for multiple characters. And yes. Sometimes they're technically the same character, and sometimes they're technically not. Okay. And that's just the way it is. I don't know.
Okay.
So then the last one is Churly.
Uh-huh.
In his original form is a Pokemon fusion between Pikachu and Charmander.
Okay. That would be the first entry that I'm seeing here on the spreadsheet.
Yes. And if I want to use him outside of, like, Pokemon, he then becomes a pangolin with fire and electricity powers.
Nice.
So he is the original character concept, and then he has the Pokemon OC concept.
Hey, there you go.
But they're all friends, and they go on just dumb adventures together, terrorizing each other or, you know, other people. I do have one comic where it's like they're all sitting around like, okay, are we ready with the plan? You know, but it's like, okay, but how are we going to set the trap? And then everybody looks over at Churly, and then the next panel is Churly looking very unhappy with Twine in the tree above him holding Hat, and Hat is like slowly expanding, and there's a bunch of trick-or-treater little kids with their bags of candy being like, oh, it's Pikachu! And they're about to steal candy from children.
Oh my god. Sorry, I'm just imagining like all the shenanigans that you could get up to with a sentient hammer space top hat.
Yep. He's the more chill out of the group, so they don't always abuse his power.
Yeah.
And it is interesting coming back to these characters, because, you know, I created them when I was, you know, a middle schooler most of the time.
Yeah.
And so thinking about how I have changed a little bit, and some of it is like, oh, there are a lot of boys.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what are the gender of these characters now? And kind of letting go of some of those assumptions. Mm-hmm. I feel like Hat would actually be very fascinating if Hat had more feminine personality. Like being a top hat, very specifically associated with, like, you know, masculine, you know, outfit or
formal
whatever.
Wear.
But
yeah,
formal wear, but actually being a girl character, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like that thought just popped into my head right now. I'm currently, you know, these characters are not static is kind of what I'm coming back to. After them being static for years and years because I didn't do anything with them. But, you know, now that we've, you know, kind of come back to them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to do some tweaks and changes to these characters.
Yeah. And real quick, I would like to mention something that delights me about the spreadsheet of all of the characters in your extended universe, but also in Chu's universe. I just want to mention that I appreciate how many of them are named after variants of your own name.
Yes.
There are several who have a variant of your last name, which I'm not going to mention on air in case you don't want to mention that.
Yes, thank you.
But there's one whose name is Benny Chaos.
Yep.
There's one named Ben Smite. Of course, Bennett's Blessed, who we talked about already.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then Chibi Benny Bat and Little Benshu and The Benediction.
Yes.
Which would be a cool wrestler name if you ever did wrestling.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of insert characters and pseudo insert characters and a lot of narcissism with my own name.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But yeah, like, so there's the group that, like, the family name is literally just my last name with, like, an extra letter, which is so stupid. But then directly above that group in the list is another character whose last name is just my last name spelled backwards. Which is actually really cool. Like, I like the sound of it. But the ones who are just my name with an extra letter, I'm like, that's so dumb. I'm definitely going to
change that. I name more OCs after yourselves, listeners.
I love my name.
It's times like this that make me wish that I could, like, do anything fun with my name. Because, like, I've never been one to, like, shorten my name to a nickname. Just because, like, I had friends growing up who were already named Tina before we met.
Right.
Like, the couple of times that friends tried to give me nicknames by shortening my name in college, they didn't really stick.
No,
the nicknames,
yeah.
Not the friends. But, and it's like, oh yeah, hey, add an X to your name and get your organization 13 OC. I'm like, I can't do it. I don't have enough vowels in my name.
Yeah, I've got a lot of consonants as well, and a lot of them are just doubled.
If you don't know what to name your character, expand or riff on your own name.
Oh yeah, my last Pokemon Scarlet character, when I named him, was E-N-N-E, which is the middle of my name.
Hey, there you go, that works.
So if you want to name a character Risty, R-I-S-T-I, I think that's a cool name, Risty.
Yeah.
What's their story?
I actually use Christy for most of my Pokemon characters when I'm playing a game. Except for Legends Arceus, where I named her after a different OC of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go through variations of my name, my middle name, the nickname somebody gave me in middle school that I kind of latched on to, and then the name I would have had if I'd been a girl. Because when my mom was pregnant, they thought I was going to be a girl, and so they had a name all picked out. And so I would have been Virginia. And so I've just latched onto that name. I really like it. And so I'll use it sometimes for characters as well.
Virginia Denver. But yeah, I get that.
But yes, there are lots. So actually, talking about all of these characters who share my name, Spike, in his mad genius form, originally was called Ben Shu.
Okay.
Which is just my name with Shu.
Yeah.
And so he was Ben Shu or Little Ben Shu. And so that was his name in that form. And then eventually, I guess he became part of the Storm Fairies. And so I switched his name to Spike at that point.
Nice.
Which even then, that's such a dumb name. So, you know, like, if I do continue to create stuff with them, I may think about how can I rename this character. So Spike is a self-insert character.
I mean, are there ever any characters that aren't at least a little bit self-insert characters?
This is true. Yes, I am secretly just a little guy. And that's where Shu comes from. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, yeah, and like Cha-Cha liking plums is because I absolutely love plums. One of my favorite fruits. I love to bite into them and just suck out all the juice. And that's probably how Cha-Cha came to be.
But yeah, actually, this is a good seg for me to ask a question that I don't think I've asked on Wayward in a while.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see yourself in Shu? And also Spike, if you want to talk about Spike too in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Spike, a lot of it is visual. Like, I would spike my hair up in middle school and high school, back when I had hair. I knew I was going to go bald. I didn't know I was going to go bald in my mid-20s, but I knew I was going to go bald. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of fun with my hair and do spikes and colored gels. And I dyed my hair one time and then dyed it blue.
Yeah.
And so visually, Spike is a white guy with brown spiky hair, which is very much based on how I looked at the time.
Yeah.
And then him being very smart, like I was a straight A student up until grad school. So him being I'm definitely not mad genius levels, but that was definitely inspiration for him. And then, I mean, the voice that I would do helped to influence the creation of Shu's voice.
Yeah.
The colors are actually very important for what I chose for Shu. which is related to the storm and the storm colors, that blue, white, and black are the three core colors.
Yeah.
And so those are the three core colors for Shu.
Okay.
I can't go down that hole yet.
Next time.
Yes, that will be the 2 hour long recording. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm secretly a little scamp too. Who likes to cause a little bit of chaos.
I mean, I feel like in order to become part of the Warfen Grid extended universe as you have to have scamp energy.
Yes, especially the way that I came into the group. Yes. Listeners, if you are not familiar with me, I guess we could go ahead and talk a little bit about where to find me and all that stuff.
We should do the final question for today for Shu, and then we can do guest credits, that kind of a thing.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so before we do everywhere else that you'd like to be found on the internet, why do you love Shu so much? I could probably guess at a couple reasons, but I'd like to hear you say it yourself.
It's a muse. It's a dumb little thing that I created that has just stuck with me throughout different points in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, reflecting back on it today, it also was, like, a part of my relationship with my dearest friend, Meredith. And so that is something that helps bring us together, too. And so that's something that I love about him. And that it's just continues to be a source of creativity for me.
I love to hear that, genuinely. So thank you very much, Benny, for coming on today to talk about Shu and also Spike and also Cha-Cha, the vampire hamster.
Yes.
And also Bennett's Blessed and also Amadan, the destroyer. And I look forward to hearing about all of their universes the next time that we talk about them on the show.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
So, where would you like to be found on the internet? And I know you have things that you would like to shout out and or promote.
Mm-hmm. So, you can find me on most of the social medias at BenActive, B-E-N-N Active. My main podcast thing is I seasonally go on the hiatus episode of The Morphin Grid with Jake and Josh, where I'm just a little scamp. Going over numbers with them.
Yes.
That is very much evil little scamp energy that I tried to bring into that.
I mean, you all play up the heel face, mm-hmm. but it is never ill-intentioned.
Yes.
I'll put it that way.
Yes, it's very fun to figure out, like, where is the line and how do I stay 2 feet away from it while mm-hmm. still acknowledging mm-hmm. it. I mean, that's the main thing. I've been guesting on a couple of various podcasts, which all of that has just fallen out of my head recently. If you would mm-hmm. like me to be on your podcast, listener, I would absolutely love to do it. So, I don't know, hit me up on social media.
And pardon me for an extremely short-term memory loss. Did you say where you're active on social media, like Blue Sky and stuff?
I'm on Blueski, as I prefer to refer to it, at Instagram. technically, I am still on X, formerly known as Twitter, but I mostly just retweet stuff at this point and don't actually post anything there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can find me if you need to get me, or join one of the various Discords, support Claire and join her Patreon and Discord, or support Hey Jake and Josh and join their Discord, and then you'll find me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to promote. Other people. Definitely. I don't have any projects going on. Go support other people.
The Home Fuerid OCs is a part of the Corner Podcast Network. We can be found through Acast and your local podcasting platform of choice. Our theme song is Violet by Poddington Bear, courtesy of the Free Music Archives. We can be reached at waywardocpod@gmail.com or at waywardocpod on the walking corpse formerly known as Twitter, and also on Blue Sky. This podcast is partly recorded on the ancestral lands of the Kiakapui, Kaw, Osage, and the Osheti Shukalan. If you'd like to talk about Wayward or the other Corner Podcast Network shows, we have our own Tumblr at cornerpodcastnetwork.tumblr.com and our own Discord server. The invite link should be pinned on my social media, but if not, just message one of the show accounts and we can get you set up. And I am always looking for guests to talk about their original characters, so feel free to drop a line if you are interested in talking about them on the show. I do also have a Google form, which is also... I don't think you can have more than one pinned thing, but it's also prominent on social media if you are interested. And if you have questions or if you're not sure what to talk about with the character, that's a good starting point. And as with all podcasts, it's always incredibly helpful if you can subscribe and rate us on your listening platform of choice and recommend us to a friend, because that helps us to find a wider audience and brighten more people's days. So, thank you all for listening. This has been the Home for Wayward OSCs, and we hope you enjoyed your stay. Hey everyone, in lieu of a friendly pod promo this episode, and in light of the global strike for Palestine and Gaza, I'd like to recommend some ways that you can help. You can strike from work or attend a protest in your area, you can boycott companies that support the genocide and shop local instead, You can donate to aid groups and funds towards buying eSIM cards for journalists. You can share information about the war on Gaza and or call or contact your political representatives. You can also follow media sources that are discussing the war, like Bisan's and Al Jazeera's reporting, or podcasts like The Electronic Infuitada, Unsettled, and On the Nose. Everything that you can do helps, and we've got to stick together. So thank you, and keep up the good fight.